This is Premier Global Services. Please stand by as we are about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Hotspot Issue in WebSphere Integration Developer Conference Call. Just a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. All participant lines are muted until the question and answer session. At this time, for opening remarks, I would like to turn the call over to your speaker for today, Mr. Zhang Da. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. And good morning, good afternoon, everyone. This is Da Zhang. I'm from IBM, WebSphere Integration Developer for the AP team. And my email address on slide one. In case you have any questions, you can always send me an email. And while I go through the PPT, if there's some question come with you, please type it into the chat tab on the bottom right of the web browser, and I will answer it in the Q&A session. And when you read your question in Q&A session, please also type your question into the chat tab, and we will appreciate it because we have to make a record of all of the questions, and this can help us understand what really you want. Slide number two, please. This is the agenda for today. We are going to talk about read performance tuning and XML mapping in read version 7, and a brief introduction of how to install and configuration clear case in read. And the last one is some frequent asked questions. Next slide, please. In this slide lists the hardware requirements summary of read version 7. Based on its description, auto read is a really big one, but it's not like memory hungry development tools, and you will find it's a real bargain to run such a big tool in 3GB memory. So number four, please. GVM tuning. As you know, read is Eclipse-based tools, so you can find the Eclipse initial file under the read install directory. Open the file, there are the many parameters which can be used in GVM tuning. But in read, we also suggest customers to keep the default value of these parameters. Because most of the hand or out of memory issue is not related to these parameters, so the point here is it's not recommended to change any of these parameters in read. So when out of memory occurs in read, the only parameters usually mentioned is XMX, map parameter. It is used to limit the amount of the memory. So in version 7, it's default to 1 GB max heap. When read crash, please try to increase this parameter. And another parameter that you can add is XGC policy. This will cause part of the garbage collection to run concurrently and will help reduce the paths that are caused by the garbage collection. For the UTE heap size, by default, the unit test environment UTE is configured for unit testing, and it might run out of the memory with large workload. To resolve this issue, we can try to increase the UTE heap size. What you have to do is in the WPS admin console, expand the servers and select application servers in the left navigation. Select the server you want to create the heap size for. Under Java and process management, select process definition. In the initial property session, select Java virtual machine. There are two fields related to the heap size, initial heap size and the maximum heap size. Just increase this value, make it large enough for your test date. Generally, we use the Verbose GC to figure out how many physical memory your project will take. And the Verbose GC parameter file can show the maximum amount of live data in the heap. For UTE heap size, it's recommended to remain nearly 50% of empty during a steady state. For example, if the verb GC date reveals there's about 500 MB dates, just set the maximum heap size to 1024 MB. And there are something we should note. The GVM heap size is limited to 1.5 GB on Windows and 2.5 GB on AX. And Java doesn't release free heap size memory back to the operating system. So Windows will not shrink the size of the application usage. For this reason, if you are testing something that requires a lot of memory in read.lps, you need to restart read.lps to release the memory back to the system. The last number five, please. This is a task manager. Task manager can be very helpful here. It can tell us to eat up all your physical memories. Sort by memory usage, it will list the most memory usage process. If you are running both read and test server, the large Java W process is most likely read, and the Java process is most likely your test server. The other number to pay attention is the commit charge at the bottom of the window. If the commit charge is higher than the amount of physical memory that you have on your system, then your system might be crashing. In this case, reducing the amount of the memory will help your performance. And the memory is a resource that needs to be conserved, and the task manager is a good way to see where your memory is going. Okay, slide number six, please. This is a validation. For the read performance, this setting is one of the big hitters. Running all of the validators is an expensive operation. If you are finding that your builds are taking too long, you could turn off all or some of the validators, or you could have them run only during manual builds. The GSP compilation validator and XML validator are the most expensive ones. The XML validator can be expensive to run if it's referencing DTDs or XML schema on external servers. If the external server is slow, it will slow down the validator, and which in turn, it will slow down the build. One way to speed up this validator is to move remote DTDs or XML schema to your local system, and then update the XML catalog to referencing this local copy. For details of adding the entry to XML catalog, there's no such information in read info center, but there is the corresponding information in RAD info center, which also can be applied to read. And the red picture shows where to set the XML tag log in read. Slide number seven, please. When auto build is turned on, it means every time you save a file, an incremental build happens. This includes not only build the file, but also building the file you depend on, and it also runs validation. Usually, the time that it takes to do this is not noticeable, but if you are finding that your saves are often taking a long time, this function can be turned off. But you should note that this will also make slower builds and less up-to-date error information. And turn on the refresh workspace auto will start a background process to the search for change, and it will check if there is a change has been made by other process to the resource in the workspace. If changes are found similar to turn on auto build on, this will cause an incremental build to run in the background. Slide number eight, please. There are some best practice. For the open builds, there are many open builds in read, like the server logs, console, build activity, and synchronize. In general, if you are not using it, just close it. And for the closing projects, basically, you should not have projects in workspace that are not needed. They just cause extra overhead when building, validating, and indexing your workspace. You should either close them or delete them. And it's better to have multiple workspaces, each with a set of related projects, than have a big one that has everything. About the label decorators, see the label decorators list in the with preferences. Disable all or some of the label will slightly improve your performance. The same with label decorators. You can choose to close off the quick div. The quick div is a function that shows the line in the margin to show you what has changed. Disable quick div will slightly improve your performance while adding the files. Slide number 9, please. A little bit more of the back practice in this slide. Vid is a large product. It includes over 10,000 files. We found that defragmenting your hard disk after installing Vid can improve your Vid startup time. It's also a good idea to defragment your hard disk before installing Vid. And on the server configuration, it suggests not to terminate your server when your workbench shuts down. Just keep the test server running if your Vid is shut down or the workspace changed. This can let one to be stopped when it's independent of the other. So you may end up your Vid with RTS running in the background of your workstation. Slide number 10, please. There's no issue in Vid version 7 and version 7.0.1. If you develop a business process in version 7, or you migrate your version 6 project to version 7, and your project contains the business process, you may find that the workspace building process is really slow, or it just stops here. In the screenshot, you can find it stops at the bpl validation command. This is caused by run extension generated in bpl ex files. The bpl ex files contains the configurations of bpl files. Change to the results view, you will find each bpl has a corresponding bpl ex, which has the same name. So if you take a look at into these files, you will find the construct like this. There's an extension to a certain bpl activity, and the activity is referred by a relative path. Please note the absolute path showed in the bottom screenshot. This is the wrong extension we are talking about. These extensions with absolute paths are wrong and are not needed at all. If they are pointing to a path that doesn't exist on your machine, they can cause the loading of BPL process became very slow. And the run extension also makes the BPL editor could not be opened sometimes. So the problem has been fixed in Vid version 7.0.2, or you can just remove these extensions manually. Next slide, please. From this slide, we'll go through the XML map. I picked up the XML map as a topic today because there's a lot in enhancement of the mapping in Vid version 7. Now in version 7, XML map can deal with the BPL and it's available in BPL palette as a data map activity. You can just drag and drop it into BPL editor. Or you can just go ahead and create a new transformation. In the business integration mail, you may have noticed that there's a new option called transformation. What you do is go ahead and right-click the transformation, new data map, and it will send you to the data map wizard. The data map wizard presents you two options, the XML map and the business object map. Previously, we can create each one of them, but now this one dialog created in order to help you choose which map you really want. There's also description to help you make an informed choice. Click more in BO map description. It will show you four main reasons to use BO map over XML map. Step number 12, please. Choosing a map mapping route. When create XML map, we should choose a appropriate route for the map. In case the mediation flows, the message is SMO. It can be broken up as context, header, body, and attachment. You can choose any section of the SMO as a route in most cases. If change only occurs in the body of the SMO and select the body is a appropriate route for your mapping. However, there are times when you may require data from the context or header, and there are also times when you may want to update the target context or target headers. In these cases, you will need to use the route of the SMO as a route for the mapping. Once the SMO mapping has been created with the chosen route, the route cannot be changed. Slide number 13, please. Basic refinement. We have more assigned and converted here. The more is the most basic refinement. It can take a simple or complex field on the source to the and the mode unchanged to the target. The only change made to the copy field will be the namespace. This will be used to ensure they are valid in the target document. When you want to copy something from the source to the target without modify it, move is a recommended refinement, and assign. The assign refinement is used when you want to assign constant value to a target element or attribute. Assign is only available for assigning a value to a simple type of field, such as string or integer. This is another most basic refinement. Convert refinement is new in version 7. The primary goal of this transformation is to provide simple convergence between simple data types. An example to use the convert is to extract a specific type of value from string. In the screenshot, there is a convert transformation. It extracts telephone number from string type and convert it into the integer values. Come down to its property view. In the general type, you can specify the default value in case transformation field to convert. Slide number 14, please. The local map. The local map is a tool for organizing a mapping file. It allows you to map the mapping for complex types. So if you have a big XML map, and there are a bunch of transformation created between the source and target, you can nested this into local maps. So in the top level of mapping, will not become cluttered with too much details. It is important to realize that the local map between the source and target does not perform any data transformation on its own, and nothing will move from the source to the target until you go inside. And you're going to start the local map and create the move or sign or any of the building functions. What you have to do here is click the golden button on the top right of the local map, go inside and create your transformation. Look at the picture in this slide. Local map is used as a container map. It nested a couple of move mappings which perform the actual transformation. There are some other container maps like merge and sum map. We will talk about that later. Slide number 15, please. The sum map. This is sum map with the local map. Sum map is a container map, and it was designed for reuse. This is pretty easy to use. If you would like to reuse some previous defined transformation, just go ahead and select sum map in the transformation. Go for the property view, specify the reuse transformation. And you may find that the validation is involved here. It will check the input and output type, and they must be the same as the source and target of some math transformation. This greatly improves speed up your developer. You don't have to create an entire transformation again and over again. Since some maps are designed for reuse, we recommended that you store some maps in libraries, which they can be easily shared or reused amongst dependent modules. There's a limitation, as the sunmap refinement is not available when working with local elements or anonymous tabs. In the case of local elements or anonymous tabs, sunmap mappings are not an option at this time. For this reason, input and output to a sunmap transformation must be well defined. Next slide, please. In some cases, you may find that you cannot create a sunmap for desired types. Generally, it's because the type is not defined in an XSD file. This can be the case if the type is defined in a VSTO file. This slide shows how to extract inline business objects when you import a VSTO or XSD file in the import wizard. Just check the extra inline elements option at the bottom of the wizard. If you are not selected this option, you will find that in the data type, the import business object with a decorate icon. So just right-click the business object and select refactor, extract inline business object, then the normal business object can be shown in the data map with the same name. Slide number 17, please. We also have the conditional support in refinement. Previously, we only have the if condition in version 6, but now we have the else if and else conditions. So you can have some condition functionality in your map. What we are looking at here is in this slide is the option of building transform with conditional support. When you hover over, there are two options for the else if and else. Or you can just right-click the transform and go down to use the else if and else items. How you build this condition is down in the property views, what you're going to do is use the XPath expression editor to build your XPath expression. The logic is evaluated in order and failed to transform for the true case. The conditional refinement are container map too. You need to contain nested mapping to provide any useful implementation. Slide 18, please. There are some restrictions of using the conditional refinement. First, all target connections within the group of if, else if, and else refinement must target the sibling elements on the targeted data structure. Failure to do so will lead to error. To avoid this problem, make sure all target connections within the condition group are all sibling of each other. And unrelated transformation output cannot exist within the output scope of conditional transformation group. Look at the pictures below. Output scope of the conditional transformation group is defined as between the topmost connected output element and the bottommost connected output element. So in our example here, it means between the element field 1 and element field 5. Slide 19, please. Building function. The building function support has been greatly expanded in version 7. The left one is the transformation manual in version 6, and the right is in version 7. There are many more functions that we had previously. Previously, we just have the small manual function that we supported. Now, we supported a lot of building functions, and they are even split them out into the category. And it even provides a filter allowing to narrow down the list. And not only the filter, they are also describes arrays, give you more information on building function. When you right-click the transform, the menu will show you all the proper built-in functions, so the menu will be different from some other transforms. But the screen here in this slide covers pretty much all of the built-in functions. We have the call functions, call transform, date and time functions, string functions, custom transform, Boolean functions, and math functions. Next slide, please. There are a few common built-in functions that you can use within the mapping editor, such as concat, normalize, and substring. And we provide first-class property page for this. And the example here showed in slide 20 is concat mapping. You may have noticed that there is a string test named example in the property view. It gives you a preview of your setting, and so it's pretty easy to specify the concat function. Next slide, please. In addition to those, there are over 60 XPath and EXSLT Java functions that you can easily use to transform data. It allows you to manipulate, evaluate, and form data. The example in this slide showed how to use the contain. The contain is a string function. It allows you to check if the input contains the specific value. If you want to more information of the built-in function, you can either hit F1 to check the XPath version 1 specification, or go ahead to have a look at the EXSLT in patch. Functions are grouped under string, math, boolean, and date and type categories. In slide 21 and slide 22, we just want to provide all the built-in functions that are supported in version 7. So if you are looking for a certain function, you can see those here. Slide number 23, please. The lookup function. In addition to the built-in functions, we also provide the three lookup functions. This function is lookup a key. The lookup function is to look up a key in a field and return the specific value of what you are looking for. Previously, we only have relationship lookup, but now we have CSV, which is common comma separate values, property lookup, and customer function energy. Which allow you to create your own Java file and create the editor menu for the lookup function. The example here showed how to use the CSV lookup function. I got it from IBM developer works named XML map embedded version 7. So if you want to more details, please check it in references. The CSV file containers state name, the CSV file it contains a set name and its abbreviations. And in the map, you can see the lookup function is to look up the key in the source and set the return value to the target. And in the property view, we have selected the CSV file lookup, and we specify either column index or the head. And also for the target, we specify the value either in the handling or in the column index. Now you can see the results of the test. Line number 24, please. This slide showed the example of create a customer lookup engine. This example is picked up from the Data Info Center. So you can also check it in the references for the more details. What you do here is click the new ending button, and this allows you to go ahead and create your own Java file. And the Java class must implement the lookup and interface. Property views are defined in Java bin style, where the presence of a set method indicates a property of the entity. All methods in the ending class that start with the word set will be considered a property definition, and the corresponding value will be shown in property editor. So in our example, in the Java code, we created the set method for database file name, key column name, and value called column name. Then in the property view, you can see the input text view has been generated for the three values. And I didn't find any results about the lookup interface. There's no API, and there's also no such information in the info center. But this information will be end up later. Next slide, please. Working with arrays. As a general rule, when you are working with arrays, you always start by mapping the input array to the output array, which creates a for each transformation. What do you do? We do not recommend it that you directly map children of array elements without using a for each on the parent array. Look at example in the bottom screenshot. The move transformation is created between the info and the first name, but the for each transformation is missing between their parent array elements. Similar to the local map, the for each is a container map, and that does not produce any results unless you are nested mappings that define how to operate over each iteration of input arrays. Next slide, please. The merge function. The merge function is designed to merge two or more arrays from the source into a single array. And look at example in this slide. In this case, we merge all the passengers info into a single array. And in this case, where the size of the it's all the same. So in cases where the size of the input arrays of is different, you can specify which input array you want to iterate over in the property view. The same way the for each transform, merge is a container map too. You have to go inside the merge transformation, specify the details about what fields in the source target are mapped to what fields in the target to complete the merge implementation. Next slide, please. This is a append function. Append allows you to take two or more arrays and append them into a single array. Look at the example in this case. We append the GoType client with flavor type client and take it into a single array. In the property view, we can specify the order of how to append the input array. It's quite simple to use. Slide 28, please. Working with the derived types defined through the extension of in cases where a base type has been extended, you can use casting to display the derived structure in the source of the target. And the case is using version 7. Right-click the base type, select the case, and then case the menu it comes out, and you can select the extension type in the cast menu. To prevent undesirable duplicates or empty elements from being created in the target at the runtime, we recommended that you follow the following conventions. When the source or target elements has been cased to derive types, we recommended that you only create maps to and from the derived types and not to the basic types. On the target, make sure always create mapping to the top level of optional elements. For example, suppose we have an element of type name in the target, and the element has been cased to derived types English name and Chinese name. The intention here in this case is that based on the certain inputs, only one of the derived types will appear in the target document. To ensure that a target is only created in case where the map inputs are present at in the input document, you must map to the top level before mapping any children. Slide number 29, please. These are the tips and tricks. We now have the ability to cut, copy, and paste the transform. This allows you to reuse the maps. When you want to reuse the transformation in other maps, just go ahead and right-click the transform, cut and copy it, and paste it in a new XML map. So if you already have some maps, you don't have to go and redo entire maps or entire sub maps again. And there is a validation involved here. When you try to pass the transformer, you copy it, it will check the source and the target tab. If it's not a match, you cannot pass it. And the data map catalog is new in version 7.2. It provides an easier way to organize all your data map, all your maps, either in a solution module or library. What you do is right-click on either solution module or library, select Open Data Map Catalog. It then opens up a catalog to help view. You can filter row and sort by column headers, such as you are looking for a certain name, types of maps, inputs, or outputs. There's also a text search for all the results. The toggle button in the data map catalog allows you to show and hide contained text and namespaces. In addition, you can see other objects that use the map in the references view. And you can create a new data map from the data map catalog also. Anyway, it's an easy way to see all your data maps. Next slide, please. To test an XML map on a server, we are going to test the mediation flow or the business flow which contains the maps. To help understand how an Excel transformation primitive in a mediation flow executed at runtime, consider the following scenario. Step 1, SMO input object is received by the transformation primitive. And step 2, the XMO input is serialized into XML for processing. And step 3, XML input is transformed using the Excel file, and an XML output is produced. In the step 4, the output XML is deserialized into the XML output objects. And in most cases, if an XML map works during local testing but fails at running time, the problem is in step 4, and the conversion of the output XML to the XML object. To track the details, we can use a fine-grained tree or open the test server trace log. Using fine-grained trees, it will allow you to see the input and output to each Excel transformation primitive in the mediation flow. Using the trace log, it allows you to examine the detailed messages. The screenshot here shows how to open a trace log. First, in the service view, when the server is running, just open the admin console. And in the troubleshooting session, select the log and the trace. And in the log and the trace area, click the server name, such as server 1. And then click change log detail levels. And in the change log detail level entry field, enter the following red text. Next slide, please. Now we are going to talk about how to use ClearCase in Vite version 7. There are generally two ways of using ClearCase with Vite, inside Vite and outside. In the inside Vite, we can use ClearCase Remote Client plugin and ClearCase SCM Adapter plugin. For the outside pattern, we can use ClearCase Explorer and ClearCase Remote Client standalone. It's recommended to use it inside Vite. And the slide showed how to install CCRC plugin into Vite. The CCRC is not packaged with Vite. To install ClearCase Remote Client plugins into Vite, switch to the Java perspective, navigate to the software update menu. In the Available Software tab, and a new site to download and install from your ClearCase server. And in the Available Software list, you may have found that there is one set to install Rational ClearCase Remote Client for Eclipse version 701CU04. Please do not try to use this site. It will lead to errors because CCRC 701CU04 is not officially supported with the Eclipse 3.4, and which is based upon by Vite version 7. And the version 7.1.1 of CCRC has been tested with Vite version 7. So we recommend it to use CCRC version 7.1.1 in Vite version 7. Next slide, please. Use SCM adapter for Eclipse in Vite. In this slide, we are going to talk about the SCM adapter for Eclipse in Vite. And ClearCase SCM adapter for Eclipse comes with Vite as an option feature, which can be installed in Install Manager. Just make sure check the ClearCase SCM adapter plugin when installing Vite 7. To enable the ClearCase team capability, you can check the navigation in the screenshot. So just enable in Vite Windows Preferences, General Capabilities, and select Team. You can see the manual for enable the ClearCase. And ClearCase SCM adapter plugin cannot work with the ClearCase server by itself. It needs a ClearCase Vite client to be installed in the local system. And the SCM adapter plugin can talk to the Vite client, and the Vite client can talk to the remote server. Also, the ClearCase SCM adapter can now decide which ClearCase server to connect to. Such settings is in the ClearCase Vite client. Next slide, please. This slide lists all the Vite test ClearCase configurations we have tested. And in Vite version 7, we have tested CCRC 7.1.1 with ClearCase Server 7.1.1 and SCM adapter with ClearCase Server 7.1.1. So it's all the recommended configurations. And there's also configuration for the Vite version 6. Next slide, please. In general, files that cannot be generated by the tools without user information should be added to the source control. And I have listed all authorized fields here. For example, all the authorized fields such as the BPL, whistle, XSD, and human test. Next slide, please. The generated files. The files that can be generated by the tools without the user information can be left out the source control. One example is a staging project such as app, web, BGB project, and a compiled files such as the Java class files. Okay, next slide, please. The best practice. Turn on the automatic workspace refresh, and if it's turned off, the clear case decorations like the check-in and check-out decorations may not update if it's not set, and check out as reserved as much as possible, and also working business integration process whenever possible. This can help you use the support from the read artifact. Next slide, please. There are some frequently asked questions of Vita version 7. First is, does Vita run in 64-bit mode? And the answer is the version 7 is not designed to take advantage of 64-bit computing and only use 32-bit technology. So you can run your Vita in a 64-bit system, but Vita will only run in 62-bit mode. And the second question is WebSphere integration developer support on Microsoft Windows version 7? And by now, only version 7.02 is officially supported in Windows version 7. And I found some customers have run Vita version 7 in Windows version 7. And this will be a potential risk. So if your environment is Windows 7, please upgrade your Vita to version 7.02. And the third is what IBM software products can be installed together. The following link provides the detailed information on combinations of products that should work as except if they are installed into the same package. In general, if it is expected that products that share common at the same version level can share a common environment without problems. Okay, next part is Q&A, and I will get the control back to the operator. Steven?
All right, thank you, Mr. Zhang. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone at this time. You will hear a double chime indicating that you are in the queue. We will proceed in the order in which you signal us, and will take as many questions as time permits. When you are selected to ask your question, you will hear a voice prompt stating that your line is open. Please state your name and affiliation before posing your question. We will now pause for a moment to assemble a queue. We will now move to our first question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, my name is Bas Lanchala, senior English programmer from Bank of New Zealand.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, thanks. I have one question. We are using 6202 weight, and there is an issue if I'm defining a optional field in the business object and offer transforming it into XSLT using XSLT. So even though it's an optional field, if I'm not passing any value to that particular field, it is still assigning the empty string after the transformation. Is that issue resolved in width 7, or it is the normal property of the XSLT?
Okay. Can you help typing your question into the chat tab? Because I can hear you very clearly.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, I see your question. It occurred in weight version 602, and you mean you define a field as optional in the bins object, and the transform is XLT into target bins object, and
using move operation.
Okay, and this is not a known issue, and especially it's the first time I see the question like this.
Okay.
Did you test it in build, or you have tested it on the run?
Yeah, I tested it in build, and I tested using a business object mapper.
Okay, have you tested it on the runtime?
Pardon me?
Have you tested it on the runtime? I mean, have you tested it on the server?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the application which is in production as of now. So we are having an issue, and I raised a PMR, and I am following it up. So I just want to know whether it is resolved in width 7.0.
Okay. I see your question. So for the problem like this, we need the trace file. So if you can open a PMR and send us the trace file, that will be very helpful, and we can find out which part of the XML parameter you have the problem.
Okay, sure. And
but the
problem is resolved, but the problem won't occur with the business object mapper. This problem comes only with the XSLT transformation, not with the business object mapper.
Have you tried it in beta version 7?
I tried with the weed version 7 as well.
And it still occurred?
Yeah, it is still occurring in XSLT, but not in business object mapper.
Okay, thank you. I will make a record of this issue, and I will try to recreate it in my environment. And if I find something, I will get back to you. Is that okay?
Yeah, I will send the PMR details to your mail ID. Thank you.
Okay.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone at this time. We will now pause for a moment to assemble a queue. We will now move to our next question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yep. I'm just commenting on the last question, actually. I'm from Australia here, and my client had the similar problem on 6.0.2 environment.
Okay.
Last year in VIT, and lab has put some fix together for them. Unfortunately, they didn't test that one, but lab has tested that solution. It's basically the XSLT was having the null values in that. So if you want to contact me on that, my name is Shuchita Gupta, or let me know the PMR. I'll put the reference together for that.
Okay, is there already an PMR open?
No, my PMR is closed, of course. That was last year. And lab has put a solution together for that problem for my client.
Okay.
I do not remember the PMR number on the top of my head at the moment, but if you know, let me know the name, I can always send you an email of that solution.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Can you leave your email address?
Yep. My name is Shuchita, S-H-U-C-H-I-T-A. And last name is Gupta, G-U-P-T-A.
Okay.
Yep. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone at this time. We'll now pause for a moment to assemble a queue. It appears there are no further questions at this time. We'll now move to our next question. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello. Yeah. This is Dajan.
Well, yeah. This is Sandesh. Actually, we face a problem with 612, with WPS
612, okay.
Yeah. Thing is, okay. When we make an invoke from Beepal to mediation, which is a long-running Beepal, and if the call is async, and whenever a mediation gets timed out, whenever a mediation times out, the timeout doesn't happen properly in the mediation.
Okay.
The mediation happens, the timeout happens only between Beepal to mediation timeout. The mediation timeout as such doesn't get reflected. Do we have a fix or solution in WIT 7 or WPS 7?
For your question, it seems like wrong time, so if you can send me the detail, I can engage my WPS colleague to help diagnose your problem. But right now, I can't tell you what is the exact component that has the problem.
Okay. Yeah, we'll type
out. So if you can send me the PI or your trace file, that will be very helpful.
Yeah, sure, we'll do.
We have a PMR open.
Yeah, we have a PMR open for this.
You have PMR open? I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Can you send me the number?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Hi, once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone at this time. It appears there are no further questions at this time. This concludes today's conference. Thank you all for your participation. Thank you.